Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Dear Christian friends, this morning Pastor mentioned we're going to continue the theme of generous, and today our focus is generous faith. And on the Street Reporter Grace, I talked to some of our teachers and students about this concept of generous faith. Check it out.
In continuing with our sermon series, this week we asked people what it means to be generous in faith. What does generous faith look like to you?
I believe generous faith is when you are able to share your faith with everyone around you, whether it's through structured things like Bible study or events at church, or even just in your own community. When you're expressing God's love with others, you're sharing your faith and you're being generous.
And what do you think that generous faith looks like?
Showing love to others and being caring to everyone that you encounter.
What does faith have to do with generosity?
With faith, then it makes your heart kinder and it helps you be willing to help people.
What does a generous faith look like?
I think someone who probably just goes out and is willing to be uncomfortable and just trusting in their faith and their convictions.
What does faith have to do with generosity?
Well, when God came down with Jesus, he was generous to all those he went around to. So by being faithful to God, we should do what he asks of us by being generous to those around us locally and even going all the way around the world if you need to.
What does faith have to do with generosity?
I think faith and generosity just is fully trusting in God and not necessarily knowing and putting the trust in yourself, but just giving generously in whatever time and talents and putting your trust that God's going to provide in all those realms.
As I think about it, really, it is what you do on a regular basis. It is so ingrained in you that you're doing, you're not even realizing you're sharing your faith and you're doing it generously because it's who you are and it's what's in you. It's that love of Christ in you that is so easily shared among others. I guess that's what comes to mind when I think of that.
Generous faith, generous, a large measure of something. In faith, believing or trusting in someone. To focus on generous faith this morning, we're going to look at our gospel lesson from Matthew. And what we find in Matthew today is a transition from the introduction of Jesus to the ministry of Jesus. That is, the gospel writer Matthew uses the first four chapters of the gospel to introduce Jesus through various prophecies fulfilled and his baptism. It's very clear that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And then he transitions to Jesus' ministry, what Jesus says and what Jesus does. And if you read through the Gospel of Matthew, there's actually these five discourses, sections where Jesus is talking, and then followed up by actions, miracles sometimes. And it concludes with his suffering, his death on the cross, resurrection, and ascension. But it's this portion today in our Gospel that serves as this transition. I'd like to read it again. If you want, open your bulletins. It's that third paragraph in the Gospel, the first two lines. And this transition also summarizes what Jesus is all about. Matthew 4, verse 23. And Jesus went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. Here we see that Jesus taught, he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom, and he healed diseases and afflictions. That is, he met people's needs. Let me break that down for you. So we know that Jesus taught. What did he teach? He taught people who God is, who we are, and how we relate, and how we relate to one another. And so Jesus teaches things like prayer. He teaches us to pray to God as our Father. He teaches us how to live in marriage. He teaches us how to live with our neighbor in our community. He even teaches us how to live with our enemy. He continues to teach and teach and teach. And every time he teaches, the people are amazed by by his wisdom. But Jesus doesn't just teach. He also preaches or proclaims the good news of the kingdom. Now, when you hear this word kingdom of God in the Bible, I don't want you to be thinking of castles and big walls, maybe Disney World or King Arthur's castle. When you hear the word kingdom of God, think the reign or the rule of God. That is, God is reigning. God is doing what God wants to do. Because that's really what the phrase means. And so in Jesus, we see that the reign of God is here. He's proclaiming this good news. That God is present in Jesus. And that God is merciful. You see, Jesus comes into the world and it's a mess. There's brokenness everywhere. There's broken relationships. There's sins. And yet he's present in the midst of it all. But in mercy, in love, in forgiveness. You see, that's what Jesus is all about. If we go back to chapter 1, verse 21, it says, "And she will give birth to a son and give him the name Jesus." Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. It's through that forgiveness that the holistic change and restoration starts. So Jesus teaches, he proclaims the good news of the kingdom, and then he meets needs. And according to his ability, he can meet a whole lot of needs. I mean, he's the Son of God, so he's casting out demons, he's taking paralyzed people and making them walk. In his compassion and his love, he is restoring his creation. He's pushing away that curse. But ultimately, he meets the world's needs through his generous faith. You see, it's Jesus' generous faith that transforms the world. Jesus has a measure of faith that is beyond measure. What I mean by that is Jesus trusts his Father so much that he's willing to live a perfect life for us in all the mess. He's willing to take all the hardship, the suffering, the beating, the persecution, and even death on a cross because he believes his Father will take care of him. As he gives up his life on the cross for your sins and mine to redeem the entire world, he trusts his Father and commits his Spirit to him. He knows his Father will raise him from the dead and likewise will raise us all and restore us all. And on the third day, he is raised from the dead. And it's his generous faith that today gives you and me sure and certain hope of our salvation. So, this morning, what does Jesus' generous faith have to do with your life, your daily walk in this world? How does it impact it? Is it something we talk about on Sunday and then just kind of get back to the old, you know, grind? How is that impacting your life? You see, because Scripture teaches us that God has adopted all of us to be his children. All of us are the children of God. The Scripture tells us that God has placed the Spirit of his Son, Jesus, in us, to live through us. And so what Jesus is all about is what we, the children of God, should be all about. Teaching, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and meeting needs according to our ability. So let's talk about teaching. Here at Concordia, there are so many ministries, I can't even count them, let alone think about them all. And we teach in so many different ways at this church. This weekend, we celebrate one of those ministries, Christ Community Lutheran School. And of course, as a school, we do a lot of teaching. We teach math, we teach reading. We actually teach two types of coding now, Spanish. The middle schoolers in the next couple months will be learning business principles and leadership. But the most important thing that's taught at CCLS is character formation in Christ. Because it's in that context that our kids learn who they are, children of God, loved and saved by Jesus. They learn their purpose, or why they exist, to make God known through serving leadership. And they learn how to do that through loving God and loving their neighbor. That's what they're learning about. But brothers and sisters in Christ, they don't learn this just by some type of content or curriculum. They learn it by being around adult influencers. No, I used to travel around the country and talk to groups of teachers and other leaders about character formation. And no matter what the group was, I'd always ask him this question. Where did you get your character? And I'll ask you that same question this morning. Think about it. Where did you get your character from? Number one answer, you can all guess, I'm sure. If we were playing the Family Feud, ding, 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 number one, parents, right? Now, let's say sometimes it's grandma when they talk about parents. But do you know what the number two answer is? Once you get past parents, where did you get your character from? Teachers. Besides parents, teachers are the number one character influencers and character creators in our culture, in our communities. And that's why it's so important that we support these teachers. The teachers at CCLS, this week as we celebrate Lutheran School Weeks, all of our Lutheran teachers, but even more than that, all of our teachers, our brothers and sisters in Christ teaching in the public schools, our parents who have decided to homeschool their children. This is all a really important calling and vocation that God gives us to raise up the next generation in character and teach them what it means to be a child of God. Teaching is so important, but it's not just for teachers. It's for each one of us as children of God. So I ask you this morning, who are you teaching? Some of you are coaches, and you're teaching kids the opportunity of teaching them a sport. But as I look around the sanctuary this morning, I see years of experience. Folks, you can Google any type of information you want these days, but what's lacking is experience. So many of you have stories and experiences of life that you can be sharing and mentoring others with. Who are you teaching? Are you teaching your grandkids, your kids? We're all called to teach. Well, not only are we called to teach, we're called to proclaim the good news of the kingdom, the forgiveness of sins. And here at Concordia, that's what this is all about, right? Our congregation is all about proclaiming that good news of the kingdom. And that happens through the word and the sacrament. You see, through the Bible, Holy Baptism, the Lord's Supper, this is where God promises to be present and to bring the forgiveness of sins and his mercy. God is present and God is merciful right here. You know, we heard the words of forgiveness from Pastor earlier. We'll receive the Lord's Supper and he'll be present there to forgive our sins and to give us generous faith to trust in him and his word. At CCLS, our kids live in an environment of forgiveness where we're constantly sharing the forgiveness of Christ with each other. But one of the other ways that CCLS is trying to share this good news is by partnering with an organization called Ambassadors of Reconciliation. This morning, they're here with us today to lead a Bible study at 9:30, to teach us skills about how we can share God's forgiveness and reconcile broken relationships. So if you get a chance at 9:30, go on downstairs to the community center. Take your kids with you. This is the Bible study for teenagers as well as adults, and learn that gift of forgiveness. It's so important. I don't have to stand up here and give you illustrations of the broken world we live in. You drive on the road and someone's got road rage because for whatever. You get on Facebook and you can see just the meanness and the brokenness. Our community needs the forgiveness of Christ. And if it's not going to come from the children of God, they're not going to find it anywhere else in the world. And so God calls us to share that forgiveness. Think about your own life. Is there someone in your family? Is there someone at your workplace that needs to hear those words of forgiveness? Or do you need those words of forgiveness shared with you? That's what Jesus is all about. So teaching, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and meeting needs. We meet needs, and Concordia meets a whole bunch of needs. But as we think about meeting needs, I want to caution everyone and say, we meet needs according to our ability. The reason I say that is sometimes we'll see big needs and we'll dive right into them without ever thinking about what God has equipped us and given us to meet that need with. So sometimes you get overextended, or sometimes we're doing things that God's called other people to do. But we just need to be cautious about that, okay? And when we're meeting needs, we meet needs according to our ability. That said, our ability should never limit us or be used as an excuse to not meet a need. Okay, so you might look at yourself and say, well, I don't have the ability to fix this need, so I'm not going to do anything. Your ability might be measured. Your ability might be limited. But God's ability is measureless. And his love for you and his love for the world is boundless. And so as children of God, that's where our generous faith kicks in, and it's so important to us. Let me try to explain it for you. When my son Joel was three, when he was three, he loved to play with animals. Maybe you've seen those schluck toys you can buy at the zoo, all the different animals. And so he'd say, "Hey, Dad, let's build a land." Okay, and we'd go to the living room, and he'd have all of his animal toys out there, and we'd build Africa here and get the polar bears out for Arctic. And he'll tell me if I'm wrong, so if I put him in the wrong place. But we put the koala bears down under, and you know, you're building this land. But when he was three, he hadn't seen much. Okay, he hadn't been on a safari in Africa. He hadn't seen the world. He hadn't watched enough videos to know how it all went together. And so I, as his dad, can have a bigger frame of reference, and I can bring things to the land that he never thought of, like taking a blue blanket and creating a waterfall. But not just my concept of what could happen was bigger. I also had more ability. He was only 3 years old. I was much bigger. I could reach up and grab my wife Christy's plants off the top and create the jungle with all the plants. Okay, because I was taller, so I had more ability too. The point I'm trying to make is this. When you see a need, I want you to remember this. You have a daddy in heaven who created all things visible and invisible. Even created this giraffe. You have a daddy in heaven who sent his son to live a perfect life for you, die on a cross to take away all your sins, and rise from the dead to give you eternal life. You have a daddy in heaven who has sent his spirit into you, who is the Lord and giver of life. And so when you see a need today or tomorrow, when you sit down at your desk or in your home and say, "Where's my purpose? What am I going to do about this?" Don't focus on limitations or the boundaries in your life. Look up in heaven and with generous faith, pray this prayer. "Daddy, will you play with me? Help me build something." It's when we have that generous faith that Jesus gives us, that you will begin to see how deep and wide and long the love of God is, not just for you, but for the community around you. And you will begin to understand that he can do immeasurably more than we can ask or even imagine, to the power that is in us, to his glory and the glory of Christ. Amen. May the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.